Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Ken Griffey Jr. was just in town. I just saw a post. I guess it was from yesterday where he's posing with his statue. One of the sweetest swings in baseball history, man. Aaron Judge has got a sweet swing. We're going to talk more baseball coming up with Grant McCauley a little bit later on as the Braves get back to it. Braves fans, look, All-Star Week was great. City did a great job. I thought the game was good. And our guys, you know, to the best of their ability, Mike. Mike, you mentioned being at the game. Some fans were disappointed Olsen wasn't put in there at the end. But, you know, I think it was a great week for our city. And now it's back to business. And the thing about it is, what does that look like? What does back to business mean? Even if the offense heats up, here's where I'm having a concern. A guy goes, oh, Dukes, this offense is going to get better. You just can't be this bad all season. Okay. But even if it does, my concern is we're not going to be able to hold anybody down.
That's just it. I mean, who's going to do the pitching? I mean, you guys, have you seen who's pitching for us over the weekend? I mean, yes, Spencer Strider will start the series tonight. Joey freaking Wentz is going. Joey Wentz. Three teams this year. He's played for the Pirates, the Twins, and now the Braves. And this is what we're going
to pitch for us. Yeah, I mean, we're already dropping the bum
again, comment. Guys. I mean, Yanni Chorizo. He's actually done okay in two outings for the Braves in his brief stint with the team. Bum. But that's the reality of it. And this gets back to Braves fans. I mean, going back to this isn't 21.
He's garbage.
Okay, I'll say it again. Riley was hitting much better than he is this year. Freddie Freeman was here that year. Swanson.
Dansby.
Dansby. I was going to say, call him Dabney. It's not his man's name. No, but he's now doing pretty good for the Cubbies after, you know, a bit of a slow start with that big contract. But Dansby was doing his thing and hitting for average and an occasional power. And then, of course, you had the big moves that were made because it seemed like this team still at just a game under 500. Soler comes in. Rosario didn't even play for the first month because he was injured. And Jock Peterson gave you a bounce. You had the night shift, which is a better pen. And there is some similarities in the sense that the Gwinnett shuffle continued. You had guys going up and down from the minors, and Snicker had to balance that act back in the day. But, of course, Max Fried was really good back then.
Who's going to hold these teams down?
You don't have this. You don't have the pitching. You don't have the starting pitching. If the texture of the Sexier's point, the law of averages that, okay, Money Harris and Ozzie cannot be this awful for an entire season. Well, then who's pitching? Then who's gonna start the pick? That's the question.
All right. We'll talk to Grant about it, guys. And this is going to be a fun series. Yankees in town is always a fun series. It just is. And they're good. And I think, you know, we've always talked about this. I need the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox. I'm not cheering for them. Cubs, they're all good. This could be really interesting as we get close to the postseason, which is just a few months away.
Hey, real quick, I'm looking at the numbers and going back and checking it out. You know, Austin Riley's OPS was 898 that year. remember, Ozuna got suspended, so he wasn't a part of it. But you had worker bees too.
Ozuna.
Like guys like, and guys like Guillermo Heredia. Remember that dude?
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of put it in. But if you go back and look at the OPS, you got contributions from the worker bees like Adam Duvall. You know, he's always a strikeout or a home run, but he always seemed to be clutch. In addition to the guys you know, Travis d'Arnaud was solid, Freddie Dansby. Ozzy batted 259 that year with an OPS just under 800. He's light years from that right now.
No, he doesn't even look like the same dude. I mean, it just doesn't. And I said this to you maybe 2 weeks ago. Little Birdie said to me, is it the wrist and the elbow issues he's had?
It hadn't been the same.
It hadn't been the same. I don't know. I don't know. But it just hadn't. All right, man. Mike, we talk about realistic expectations. Training camp's just literally a few days away. And speaking of training camp, I want to remind you guys that we're going to have you covered July 24th through August 13th. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game brings you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp. Morning Shift will be there. Steakhouse, Andy and Randy broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. Then Mike and I, as we do an afternoon drive, guys, at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. It's always a lot of fun to see all the folks come out. And we talk a lot of football, but we talk about all the things that are going on. So we get a variety of people that come out there, college fans, you know, NFL fans, and it's just a lot of fun. So come hang out with us. Coverage is brought to you by Rolux Real Mowers for the best grass in your neighborhood and by Window Nation. WindowNation.com. Call 866-90-NATION. Live coverage of Falcons training camp. What are the realistic expectations for Jalen Walker and James Pierce? And have they changed
right
with what you learned this week?
Yeah, talking to Bryson Easton, his teammate from Tennessee, from SEC Media Days. Now, guys, and if I've had to say this once, probably 50, 100 times this week on social media, when the stuff came out that was put out there, and again, where does this stuff start? It starts with one reporter getting some information from, could be from somebody in an NFL team, could be somebody who just puts some stuff out there. And it happens, unfortunately, because everybody's in a race to create content. But the knock on James Pierce Jr., that was reported was a passion for football. Is he dedicated to it? And then we talked to the young man. He's not as mature as Jalen Walker, but Jalen Walker sounds like a CEO. He just comes out. He's had 4 years under Kirby. It's different energy. And as you guys know, an NFL locker room, it could be kids from the inner city to kids from out in the country, and it could be kids who just get different life experience. It doesn't mean they're not going to turn out to be great football players. So we reported, and we always do on this show, say it could be pre-draft BS.
Yeah.
So that's where it was. We're not, I apologize if you felt that somehow we were becoming an echo chamber for that. We were just saying there was a perception amongst personnel guys he was not worth moving a first-round pick to get back in the first round. That might be erroneous. He might be better than Jalen Walker at the end of the day. But at the time, as Carl says, we go with what we know. But we talked to him. He's a good kid.
Yeah.
But the guys who played with him love him, and the Falcons love him.
They do. And look, I am not concerned about all the pre-draft stuff now because he's ours. And you shouldn't be either. What are you going to do now? I always ask guys, like, oh, I just want to get drafted, man. I want to get a shot. Okay. James Pierce Jr., what are you going to do now? Forget about having the most pressure and the pressure rate and all that stuff in the SEC. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. So I think, Mike, he comes into camp. He's motivated. You talked about Jalen. The realistic expectations is that they produce and perform at a level in which it enhances this defense. Everybody wants to put statistical numbers on that. Dukes, what's that look like? Right. Well, if I sit here and tell you that James Pierce is going to have 11 sacks, let me tell you something. Not only do we have the defensive rookie of the year, but we got something pretty damn special, okay? So when we say, or I say, his performance enhances this defense in a way that we are so much better than we've been over the last few years, I don't know statistically what that looks like. But, Mike, that could come, and you guys know me, on a big third down in week one against Tampa Bay with a strip sack. Fumble. Get on it. It could all of a sudden change the game, and guess what? Those are the plays that make or break seasons.
Right.
So it's not just 11 sacks or 12 or 8 for Jalen Walker. It's, Mike, do we have those moments?
Right, and that's one of the things I said to Brian McFadden. If we can just be one of the top 15 defenses, okay, because we're always kind of floating in the 22nd to the 30th, and we've all, guys, you guys know, we are one of the worst teams historically in the NFL in the entire history of the franchise. with the possible exceptions of Claude Humphrey, the Bomb Squad, the Predator, Patrick Kearney.
That's it.
And one Vic Beasley season.
That's true.
That's it. I mean, we are a bad football team in sacking the quarterback. So the dedicated, not one, but two drafts. I mean, everyone talked about this year, but you know, last year, once they got into the meat of the draft, Rook Arororo, and I'll go back to it. A guy says, why do you obsess on that? Because remember, Grady's gone. And Rook, only we only saw a small sample size. I think you like him. You were more impressed than maybe I was. But Rook, along with Onyemata, they're the dogs in the middle. And then the rest of the guys are kind of B and C level guys that rotate on the defensive tackle. So those guys better bring it.
I don't disagree that that is a monumental part of this puzzle that we're trying to figure out. I do have a little bit more belief, maybe more belief than you or most people. I think the kid can play. We didn't see enough of him because, again, he played. But when you think about the rookies that got run, Mike, he was one of the only.
Right.
It wasn't like all these rookies played last year. So when you're throwing him into the mix with what we had last year, it wasn't out of necessity. It was because they felt like he was ready. And I think he's got to take a big step. Look, we can talk about all these other guys. If the defensive front, and we're talking about specifically the D-line, is not improved, we're going to have a problem. Are we better at stopping the run, getting back to Mike's point, and do we get pushed up the middle? That starts and finishes with Rook and those guys that we're talking about. 404-726-0929. I just don't want to temper expectations for Jalen or James. I just feel like after this week and talking to his teammate, brother don't have any reason to lie.
Right.
Bryson Easton doesn't have any. He ain't got no skin in this game. He's just telling you, this is a dude I played next to, and let me tell you what I saw every day.
Right.
So I feel like whatever we thought, I feel a lot better about the Pierce situation.
The 2016 Falcons had veterans and they had rookies. And the three rookies had impact. Devondre Campbell, obviously Debo, Keanu Neal. But we also had guys like Brian Poole. There's a lot of guys that came in, and there was also a depth. Probably you could argue more depth on the D-line that year. But there's a lot of similarity. Don't forget, guys, we got Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd walks in the building. He brings 8 or 9 sacks. That's his average on the career.
You're right. All right, coming up, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Stop by the Midday Show. You'll hear what he said in the 4 o'clock hour. But when we come back, it's time for Yeah Man, No Man on a Friday! Hope.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're just talking about the Braves. It's the second half. It's beyond the first half because they actually played more than half the season. Are they going to do anything? A spark? A minor move? They brought in a guy that, you know, we'll talk more about him and what he means to this, but it's just minor moves and minor pieces, just like the guy Wentz is going to pick John Saturday. Don't really have I don't think you should have the mindset to be really accumulating talent this year, knowing what your limitations are. Carl and I will spend more time on that later in the show. Also on the way, guys, we'll talk about some guy talk. The fallout continues for the CEO of that company called Astronomer after the Coldplay concert. More information coming out. Now an investigation from the company. An internal investigation into the HR director and CEO.
I can fix you. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. D- Day-Day is out. Made it to the airport on time, as a matter of fact.
Beat his wife, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, what? So he did run into traffic, though, Mike, exactly in the places we told him he would.
Yeah, I make that trip since I moved to the south side, and the connector is always sluggish. And, you know, by the airport, there's always, do I get off now? Is this the exit? And it's like, and by the way, the cabbies, I mean, you know, you would think the more fares that you get to the airport, the more money you make.
Yeah.
As opposed to going, you know, slow in the left-hand lane in that 1999 Ford Astro van with a radiator smell. Might want to just move it along. But I digress.
Yes, he made it, which means our man Big O has got Yeah Man, No Man. And by the way, I do love Fix You. I love Coldplay. I've said this, so I'm not making fun if you guys think. Mike has more info, though, on this investigation.
Yes.
And this thing is getting deeper and deeper. But he quoted that song, for those of you who don't know, at the end of the statement yesterday. Mm-hmm. Which was just ironic. All right, Big O, what's going on, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, guys. Happy Friday. Good weekend indeed. I'm not planning on going to any Coldplay concerts anytime soon. So. I'm not a really big fan of Coldplay. Like, I get the appeal that their music has with people, but they're just kind of blah to me. But that's neither here nor there.
Man, tell that to them.
No. I mean, I used to bust Carl's. But again, you like what you like. There's no wrong. There's like an art or, you know, fat. Whatever, you do what you do, man. But I used to joke around Orn all the time. For people to find you two a little hard-edged.
There you go.
Coldplay.
Right. Just, I would hope, though, that they were Coldplay fans. Because the worst thing is, you don't want to ruin your life completely.
Oh, they were Coldplay fans.
Watching a band that you absolutely do not like.
No, this is true. You're right about that. Like, I want to go to this concert. Well, who is it? Really not interested, but I'll go. That would be horrible.
That'd be horrible getting caught cheating on the big screen. Get caught in 8K like that.
When you try your best, but you don't succeed.
Remember, was it, who was it at? It was Mary J. Blige was at the Chastain Amphitheater.
Okay.
And, my wife's listening, so I'll just move the story along. But, you know, having been in a relationship previous, you know, BB, when I was making bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe stepped out a few times.
You had changed. You had reformed.
But then being at a Mary J. Blige concert where she goes on the, you know, sometimes when your man steps out, oh, God. And, like, basically 4 to 5 men in the audience, like,
sinking down
in the chair.
Like, I don't need to be as tall as I am right now.
Might be a good time to go get another drink.
Yeah, use the bathroom real quick.
Good luck.
In any case, Michael Wilbon, guys. Michael Wilbon popped up on Dan Lebatard's show today, and they spoke. A little tidbit came up that he and Tony Kornheiser are up. Their contracts are up in August.
Ruh-roh.
And they're renegotiating right now. So in this landscape of media world that we have right now, where hosts are being replaced and fired and all this stuff, ESPN potentially, I say that right now because they're not under contract, could be without kind of two staples, a long term for what that network is, Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser. Yeah, Man, No Man. Mm. And ESPN in the future without those two guys.
Kind of hard to envision because it's been so good. PTI is winding down, right? I mean, PTI, the Around the Horn. Around the Horn is on its way out. But I was, you know, whether you agree with Kornheiser or not, or Michael Wilbon, we had a chance to have both guys on the show. I think it's one of the best pieces, you know, of entertainment on ESPN because they're probably the smartest guys on ESPN.
I do agree with that. Look, it's going to happen at some point. I don't know if it happens in the next – maybe this is their last go-around, right? Maybe they sign another deal and this is their last go-around. I've known Mike Wilbon for a long time. I'll tell you this, and for those who don't know the story, this was like on a whim for him and Kornheiser. They literally thought ESPN was joking when they said, we want you guys to do a show. And so they went in and did exactly what you see them do every day, clowning around with different topics and doing stuff. And ESPN was like, okay, well, this is what we want to pay you. And they said they looked at each other and went, this is only going to last a year. And it's been on the air for 25 years. Right. So Michael Wilbon said, look, I had no idea this would turn into whatever it did. But yeah, man, look, it's going to happen at some point, but I don't know if it's this time around. Maybe, maybe the next time around. Because remember, he still does all the other stuff, right? He's doing the NBA stuff.
Right.
He's got his hands in a lot of other things there. But I will tell you this, Wilbon's chilling. He's not in Bristol a lot. He's not having to be there a whole lot. Him and Kornheiser made Mike enough that they can do whatever the hell they want. And so if it is the end, they're going to be just fine. But I also think that it'd be smart for ESPN, to your point, because these auxiliary shows that you're talking about, like what else stands out to you when I say, because I don't know if you watch any of those shows on Fox. I don't. What other shows are there? I'm not talking about First Take.
And Fox is clearing the deck on their shows.
Right?
They're programming.
So I don't know like how much attention other people are paying to the other type shows like this. But I just think their uniqueness is they are them, and like there is no other show like it because Michael is Michael, and well, Kornheiser, whether you like him or not, Mike. And the one thing I can't believe, we discussed this, Kornheiser was on Monday Night Football at one point.
Yeah, I mean, they remember they threw a lot of stuff up on the wall from Dennis Miller to Tony Kornheiser.
Dennis, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I like Dennis, I love Dennis Miller's stand up, but I mean, that was not easy. That was tough. And Rush Limbaugh for a minute, remember that nonsense?
That's right.
On a pregame?
Man, that didn't last very long at all.
But, you know, they were just trying to reinvent it. And then at the end of the day, you know, it's funny because football, you look back, you didn't need any of the bells and whistles. The game is the game. You know, John Madden was John Madden, you know, and it was a special time and place. And eventually he stepped away, moved over to Fox, obviously, after he left ABC. But they were kind of reaching. But now it's like when you look at the broadcast crew, it's just you're there for the games. You really are truly there for the games, aren't you? The Manning cast, I'm Joe, he's Troy. That's the thing. ESPN, it's all combined to one rating. But it's almost like if you're Joe and Troy, it's like, damn, we got the Mannings competing against us.
Us. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
All righty, staying in the media world here, guys. It's back. We thought it was dead, but it is back. The UNC documentary about this season has made a reappearance. Originally, it was going to be that Hard Knocks type series, but Ms. Hudson had her hands a little bit too far into that with creative control, and Hard Knocks was like, nah, I think we're going to pass about that. Well, Hulu is picking it up now.
Oh.
And it's going to be focused on Belichick's first season in Chapel Hill. But it's unclear at this point what part of the season is going to focus on or what any part of the season is going to focus on. But, yes, yeah, man, no, man. Any interest in that's going to Hulu this season, this first season about Bill Belichick and UNC?
All right. Look, I think there's a curiosity for most people to see what he's going to be able to do there with that program. I've said, and maybe I'm wrong, that I don't think he's completely focused. I think this is almost like to bide his time, Mike, to maybe get back to the NFL. Remember, guys, he says he doesn't care. He is chasing the all-time winningest coach record, okay? And he needs a few more years in the NFL to do that. But I also think, Mike, him being shut out of the NFL ticked him off. I don't think this is long-term. And if he says he wants to coach, let's just say, 6-7 more years, do you guys believe he's going to be at UNC?
No.
I don't.
I have a hard time seeing him get to 3 years there.
So this doc, I do want to see because I want to see what we've never seen. Oh, yeah, we never saw the behind the scenes of the Patriots.
This is true, yeah.
So I want to see a little bit of Belichick behind the scenes, Mike. And I don't know what that looks like at the college level.
Now,
I don't know.
I love Hard Knocks. How many Georgia fans would pay $10 or whatever it would be to get that Georgia access and have your own Georgia version of Hard Knocks? Years ago, I think it was Showtime, did Florida State. It was one of the last good years that Jimbo Fisher was there. I love that access. Being in the locker room.
Was that Jameis's year?
No, it was. Yeah, it was Jameis. I think it was Jameis's last year.
Okay, because
they lose
think
to
I
Oregon in
that.
The semi.
Yes.
Right? And that's the one where Jimbo has some great, he had some great speeches. I know it all went south for him in Texas A&M. But no, I'm looking forward to see, you know, because we're spending so much time. Think about the SEC, the Texas money versus the Georgia money. What does that North Carolina money look like? And based on some of the athletic reporting, you know, are there some folks that are lukewarm on this Bill? They may think it's a Bill Belichick kind of circus. And is this going to bring some production to North Carolina, which always puts guys in the NFL, but there's always seemed to have a ceiling that's never even remotely considered a national championship? Mack Brown, right? Losing to Florida State 14-7 was as good as it got.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, because UNC, they redid the whole program with the emphasis now on it being more pro-center, so pro-personnel, a lot of pro-assistant coaches. Like, the whole goal now is that when you come to UNC, like, we're preparing you to get to that next level to play in the NFL. So everything is NFL-centered, pro-football-centered now. So,
all right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just look at Belichick and I just don't see the third act working wherever he goes. But we'll find out.
All right, guys, final one here. It came out this week, courtesy of Greg McElroy, that Nick Saban's not done. He's still got that itch to go and coach.
Yeah.
I think McElroy, by the way, Cole Kublik was laughing about that. He goes, you know, that's what he does. McElroy's throwing stuff out there.
He did.
Well, somebody else is throwing something on the wall here. One, Urban Meyer.
Uh-oh.
He's taking the coaching thing and going a bit further. Now, we all know Nick had a stint in the NFL with the Browns and then as an assistant, and then he down in Miami, and it didn't work out the way probably he wanted it to end in Miami, but ended up in Alabama after that. There's always been whispers that because of the way it ended in Miami, he's always wanted to go back and fulfill that itch, kind of scratch that itch to win at that level. This was Urban taking it a bit further.
It's not a little scratch. It's probably a pretty big scratch. I don't think he'd go back to college. I don't see that fit, but I think he would take phone calls from the NFL. Nick Saban can get that kind of position where he believes that this is a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame quarterback or a world champion quarterback. The more I'm thinking about it, I think he's going to take that call. I really do.
Miami?
Well, he's been there, done that, or didn't been there, didn't do that.
Right.
You know, finished 500 for his 2 years there in Miami, and it just didn't go well. We've talked about, you know, Jimmy Johnson, you know, the three rings, the one championship with Miami, and then two with the Cowboys. Not many guys have been able to execute it. Lou Holtz flamed out in the NFL. Petrino, I mean, we could do an entire show of NFL coaches who first came from the college ranks, and it just didn't work.
I still am having a hard time buying this.
At that age?
Yeah. It's not as if you walk into the NFL and you're not working.
Dan Reeves was in his early 50s when he came to the Falcons, which people don't forget.
Big difference. Remember? The big difference between your 50s and 70s. And the energy level and what it takes to be a head football coach in the NFL. Like, you got to respect the job. Oh, you just can't walk into a complex and be like, okay, Nick Saban's here, and he's going to delegate.
We're going to start winning up immediately.
He's going to delegate all this stuff. I don't see it. Like, the energy it takes to do what these guys do, I don't know if people realize. And so for me, I'm still having a tough time. What Urban Meyer is saying, though, this part I do believe, he's not coming back to college. He left for a reason. He did not like the way college football was moving. And the timing for him was perfect. Other coaches have already gotten out because they don't like what's going on, but I don't see him going back to college. And again, Mike, what's he got to prove at the collegiate level?
No, that's if somebody said, we talked yesterday at SEC Media Days on Wednesday, Florida State ain't got the money. Florida State ain't got no money. Believe me, they can't buy out Norvell. They probably want to do
that. Is that the rumor that he would go there?
That was somebody put it out there, but it's just content. Somebody's just getting some clickbait, Orin. By the way, the only three coaches who've won a college football championship and a Super Bowl, Barry Switzer with Jimmy Johnson's team.
True.
And, of course, Pete Carroll, who won two with USC. I know one was vacated, but regardless,
Seattle.
He won those championships. Should have won two with the Seahawks, if not for that. Just run it with Marshawn, man.
Yeah. And by the way, his first time around in the NFL, people forget, was a fail.
Yeah, he was with the Jets and the Patriots, Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll was a fail, and then got it right the third time around.
Maybe he was out of coaching after he finished in the NFL for a minute.
I was surprised. I thought he'd walk away, and he has still had the bug. That's why he's with the Raiders now, kind of trying to reinvigorate the Raiders.
Mm.
Hey, Randy.
Hi, Randy.
They had a fun show today. They were up at Twin Peaks. Shenanigans. By the way, guys, it all starts Thursday. Falcons camp, Carl. You and I will be out there with the media elite of Atlanta.
Including Randy.
And then later on, we'll be kicking it.
You know he's a part of the media.
He's a media member.
You know he's a member of the media.
They call him Scoop McMichael.
That's right.
We'll be at a Hooters, guys, the Taj Mahooters Mall of Georgia. And it's kind of like our residency begins for 2025 next Thursday.
All right. It's what they have to do, and they didn't do enough of it last season. It's not enough. We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.